Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 290, stanzas 1, 2, 4, and 5. Praise ye the Lord, for he is good. Give thanks and bless his name. His loving kindness changes not from age to age the same. 1, 2, 4, and 5 of Psalter 290. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Gospel according to John, at the second chapter, John chapter 2. But first we will read the Holy Law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. And thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, and nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. John chapter 2. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, "They have no wine." Jesus saith unto her, "Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." His mother saith unto the servants, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." There were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, "Fill the water pots with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, "Draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast." And they bare it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, The governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. After this he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother and his brethren and his disciples, and they continued there not many days. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, Take these things hence. Make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men and needed not that any should testify of men, for he knew what was in men. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, when we may come together again in this morning in thy house of prayer, then it behooves us to take a place of humility, a place of subjection, a place of abhorrence of ourselves. Because of our deep fall, because of our rebellion, because of the iniquity that lies within our hearts. But Lord, we cannot come there. We cannot give ourselves that place where we belong. And therefore, we must ask everything of thee. Thou who art the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending for thy people. Oh, may thou be so also for us in this day, when we may come together again on this beautiful Sabbath day. And when thy sun does rise upon the just and upon the unjust, upon the righteous and upon the wicked. And thou knowest each and every one of us that we have not one thing in our whole life, one righteousness to lay before thee. And so we must confess our wretchedness and our wickedness in thy sight and our undeservedness, that thou wouldst look upon us in thy mercy. because our sins testify against us day by day and moment by moment. Lord, give us to feel it. Oh, give us an impression thereof in our hard and stony hearts. Oh, break them in this morning. And when we try to approach unto Thee with a heart that is so worldly and that is so cold to all that is of Thee, and when our treasure is set upon the things of the world and not on the things above, and when we have turned everything, O Lord, so upside down, and when we cannot make it right anymore, O Thou hast sent Thy dear Son that He might make it right. O that we may be found in Him. O give us then to need Him. Show us that we cannot do it. And wilt Thou grant us to become poor in ourselves, whereby nature we are rich and increased with goods, and we have need of nothing. But we do not know that we are miserable and wretched and poor and blind and naked. O Thou dost counsel to buy of Thee gold tried in the fire. Oh, that we may take heed by Thy Spirit to that counsel, and that Thy dear Son may become precious and necessary in our eyes also, while it is still a day of grace, and before that it is forever and eternally too late for us and our dear children. Lord, come then from Thine own side, and look upon us in Thy mercy, and deal not with us in Thy wrath and in Thy hot displeasure. But wilt Thou look on us in this Thy holy day? Thou didst also go up on Thy day to the house of prayer. Thou didst drive out them that bought and sold in the temple. Lord, Thou knowest our hearts and also the frailty of our minds, that we cannot put away all the busyness of this life. And it is also our own fault because we have so little preparation for Thy day. But oh, may Thou give in this morning that Thy Spirit may drive out all the buyers and the sellers, and that we may be brought to hear with new ears of those things that are so necessary for our souls, we and our dear children. Lord, our hope is upon Thee. And when we have no hope and no expectation in men, no, not in any one of us, also not in Thy servant, because we cannot bring forth anything. Lord, Thou knowest what we are and what we stand in need of before this day again. A call to bring Thy word. Lord, we are but a human flesh, and we have no ability for this work. Oh, could it please Thee to help us again, to come with Thy Spirit and endue us with power from on high, and to give us the matter to bring. Show us, Lord, new and old things out of Thy law, that it may be that there may be food in Thy house for those who must cry out, O my soul, why art thou grieving? And why art thou dismayed? O give them to hope in Thee. Lord, wilt Thou feed in Thy church in the days in which we live? And may we be a little instrument for that purpose in Thy hand, and to bring forth new life amongst young and old, amidst all the deadness and all the hardness of all of our hearts. Wilt thou look on all the afflicted ones? Be with that child who has received that procedure again in the week that is gone by, and for whom thou hast again made it so well. Increase the strength, and wilt thou help in all these ways, strengthen parents. And use these ways, Lord, that we may not get used to them, but that we may have an impression in our hearts of the frailty of our life. Be with those that recover from sicknesses, and all those that are sick in this day yet. Wilt thou give health and strength to all that are ill? And be with all that are not able to be with us in thy house of prayer. And when they are in their own places, give again recovery and thy blessing on thy day. Be with all widows, widowers, and orphans in the needs and the cares of this life, in sorrows, in mourning, in missing. Strengthen and be near and dear to them. And give us to bear one another's burdens, all that are not married, and for whom it is a burden, all that have no children, and all those that have distresses known to thee. Wilt thou go then before us as a congregation? Lord, remember us in the ways that we live in this life. Because the world that is come into the church and the world that lives so in our hearts, and when thou wilt not keep us, Lord, then our life also that will be a life in the world. Oh, that thou may open our eyes, each of us together, with our dear children, and that thou may keep us from joining in with all the vanity and with all the evil that is in this world, and that thou would put a fence about us to keep us, and that one thing needful may be bound upon the hearts of us and our children. Lord, come then to thy servants this day over the length and the breadth of the whole world. Thou who hast instituted the ministry, and thou who callest forth thy servants, and who thrusteth them forth into the vineyard, and when they are scattered here and there upon the face of this earth, may thou look upon each and every one of them, and may thou do as thou hast promised, to be with them even unto the end of the world. And wilt thou show it when thou wilt bless our word, and when it may be that it in the midst of the congregations, that it may be experienced, that it may be felt, that thou indeed didst call and send, and that it may that there may be fruit upon it when new ones are born in Zion. Lord, come then. Oh, come and help us. And wilt thou take away what is of us and plant something in our mouth this day for the good of this people. We ask it in the forgiveness of all that is sinful for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 241, stanzas 1 through 5. My song forever shall record the tender mercies of the Lord. Thy faithfulness will I proclaim, and every age shall know thy name. The extra collection at the last song today is for the Banner of Truth and Insight into Publications. We announce that the following young people hope to make public profession of faith on Sunday, January 21st, in the afternoon service. Marie Arnold Dusin, Leonard Brunn, Beverly Den Hollander, Arjan Janssen. Lawful objections must be brought to the consistory before January 17th. Psalter 241, stanzas 1 through 5.
Thank you.
Congregation, when the Lord Jesus came into this world, then he did not lay down his divine nature as he took upon himself his human nature. But he only hid that divine nature, as it were, behind a veil. That is, behind the veil of his humanity. That divine nature that was not evident in the same manner as we can read that divinity of the Lord was evident upon Mount Sinai. But it was hidden. And yet there were times when that divine nature did show itself through that human nature. When was that evident? That was evident in the miracles which the Lord Jesus performed when he was here upon the earth. The devil himself was also permitted by the Lord to perform miracles. We know that in the land of Egypt, those same miracles which were performed by the Lord by the hand of his servant Moses, Aaron, that the devil was able to copy. And today, also, the Lord does allow sometimes the devil power to deceive men and to perform miracles in the world. And therefore, young people, we must warn you that though such very strange things sometimes are taking place in the hidden places of darkness in this world, that is a power that is permitted of the Lord in our days when the Lord allows men in his wretchedness to go in his own way. You say, how can we tell the difference between that which is of the Lord and that which is of the devil? When you see the nature of the miracles which the Lord Jesus performed, then they were completely different. You never read that the Lord Jesus was performing miracles on behalf of himself. You never read that the Lord Jesus was performing miracles just to make men marvel. No. But those miracles that the Lord Jesus was performing here below were miracles which were for the benefit of the poor and of the needy. That was always to help those who could not help themselves. It was always for those who were brought into that way of impossibility. Why? Well, congregation, that is the work of the Lord Jesus. That is that purpose that he was sent. That is his task here below. And that is a wonder. And why is that such a wonder? Because there is a people who need a miracle to be performed. There is a people who cannot do without a wonder in their life. And now, is that also true of you and of me? That we have lost all the power and that we have lost all the strength from our own side, and that we stand in need of a work that has to come from another side, that we stand in need of a divine work of God. With the Lord's help, we wish to consider something of this with you in this morning, out of the words of our text, which you can find in the portion that was read to you, John chapter 2, and thereof verse 11. John chapter 2, verse 11. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. So far, our text. The miracle of water made wine. First, the request for this miracle. Second, the performance of this miracle. And third, the fruit upon this miracle. The miracle of the water made wine. First, the request for it. Second, the performance of it. And third, the fruit upon it. We read in this chapter of the mother of the Lord Jesus that she is at a marriage feast, and that also with the disciples of the Lord. Most likely that is some relative. And they have been invited to this wedding as part of this family. The world congregation degrades the physical union between the man and the woman, which has been given by the Lord in our creation. They do this, young people, by filthy talk, by a filthy joking, by wicked actions. We hope that you are never involved in such things, in the degradation of the holy institution of marriage. Now we read here also about a marriage feast, thus a marriage feast that is a very lawful thing. Otherwise, the Lord Jesus would never himself have attended such a feast with his own disciples. As long as, of course, that marriage feast is carried out according to those rules of sobriety, which we can read of in the Holy Word of God. Because actually, such a feast, a marriage feast, is really a little emblem of that marriage supper of the Lamb that will one day be the joy and the rejoicing of that true church of God, unto whom the Lord says, I am married unto you. Therefore, also in these occasions, we hope that the presence of the Lord may be sought, and that our actions as attendees also may be in accordance therewith, and that we may desire, even as was desired here, the presence of the Lord and his disciples, that we may desire the company also in such places of the true people of the Lord. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. That was something. Most likely, they have wanted wine because they were poor. And it can be that the Lord Jesus, who has recently come to this place, has also come there in a bit of an unexpected way. And they wanted wine. That is, for the host, an embarrassing situation. And Mary tells this unto her own son. Why? Well, that he would be able to provide something for this family. Well, how do we know, how did Mary know that the Lord Jesus was able to do such a thing? How did she know that, boys and girls? Because we read here that this is the beginning of the miracles that the Lord Jesus did in the world. So Mary has not seen any miracle done by the Lord Jesus before. Then it is not likely that the Lord Jesus, before this time, even when he was young, has performed any miracles on behalf also of his own family. And yet Mary believed that the Lord Jesus could do this. Mary believed that the Lord Jesus could help in this. How is that? Well, the Lord had said to Mary who that the Lord Jesus was. That her son, then he would be called the Son of God. And that was even when he was in the womb. Therefore we read, and when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. And what is the reply of the Lord Jesus? Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. Is that respectful, young people? Then the Lord Jesus says to his mother, woman, do you do that too? For the Lord Jesus, that was no disrespect. No, the Roman Catholic Church says that Mary was without sin. And that is not the truth. It is true that the Lord Jesus was the son of Mary, but the Lord Jesus was not only the son of Mary. No, but the Lord Jesus was also the God of Mary. And this is the time that the Lord Jesus is just beginning his ministry here in the world. Thus there is a coming a change, that is, that the Lord Jesus is now going to be going in that way that the Father has sent him, that he may minister unto his own church. And Mary has received a task with her husband here in this world, in the life of the Lord Jesus. That was to bring him up as a child. But Mary will have no task in directing her son when he goes forth into that way of the ministry. And therefore the Lord Jesus, in a gentle rebuke, is showing unto his own mother that when he will begin to perform miracles and when that divinity of the Lord Jesus will become manifest, that this will not be at the direction of the human flesh. Thus Mary was a little bit presumptuous in thinking that she can direct her son in such a way. Then the Lord Jesus says, woman, That is, when normally he would have said mother, but he is not going to be dealing here in the relationship of a child and his mother. Woman, what have I to do with thee? That means, then you have no authority over me in my official labors. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. Our time, congregation, that is always ready. And we think always that the Lord takes too long. Is that not so, people of the Lord? That you say that it is time for the Lord to work. That you say that it is long enough. That I have to go through this trial or I have to go through that trial. That we think that the afflictions that the Lord has brought in our life have brought us already unto that place that we need to come. And then we think that we know better than that the Lord does. When that the Lord should perform His miracles and His wonders in our life or in the life of those whom we love. But what does the Lord Jesus say? He says, my time is not yet come. Thus, in general, it is taking longer than God's people wish that it would take. And now, what does Mary not want? What would Mary like to prevent? Well, Mary would like to prevent embarrassment. She would like to prevent the embarrassment of the host. She does not want that the poverty would become evident to everyone. And Mary would like it that that wine that would come before that everyone realizes what a situation that they have come in. What does the Lord Jesus say? He says, no. No, he says, my time is not yet come. He says, we must still wait. And until when must we wait? Well, we must wait until His time. And what time is His time? That is a time when that need is fully felt. When that need and that poverty that is fully exposed. And why? Because otherwise the Lord cannot receive the honor and the glory for His miracles. My time is not yet come. Congregation, the Lord is working in a mysterious way His wonders to perform. And every one of His own afflicted and poor people that He is leading through this life, every one of them is going to receive that deliverance from the hand of the Lord. But it is not going to be in their time. It is not when they think that they have been brought sufficiently into their poverty, no. It is going to be in His time, although that may cause them very much anxiety. My time is not yet come. It is, congregation, not only poverty that people must experience, but it is more than poverty. What must His people experience? What must His people come to know? How alone can the Lord truly receive His glory? That is not only by the knowledge of our poverty, no, but that is by the knowledge of our bankruptcy. That is when we are brought to that place where there is no help from our own sight. That is when we are so completely cut off. Then the Lord is not sparing the flesh of a person. No, then Abraham has to wait until it has become such a hopeless case that it becomes so impossible. He has to wait so long that he has to think even that he has done something wrong, that he has not helped the Lord to fulfill his own promise in his life. But the Lord is waiting. My time is not yet come. The Lord is waiting until that everything is taken away. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Congregation, here is evidence of what lay in the heart of Mary. And what lay in the heart of Mary, that is faith. That there is grace in the heart of this woman. In the first place, we read of a great humility and of a bowing of the Lord Jesus, a bowing of Mary under the gentle rebuke of the Lord Jesus, that she does not rebel against his words, no, but that she receives his words in a true humility. But there is more. Because Mary receives this reproof as a ground, people of the Lord, as a ground of hope. And why is that now a ground of hope? Because Mary hears the Lord Jesus. He says, My time is not yet come. And Mary hears something in this. We read about Ben-Hadad and his servants, that they came with the ropes about their neck unto Ahab, and that they did diligently watch. They were listening. It says to see if there would be anything good that would come from the king. Because the expectation that was that they would be cut off. And then they were listening for one little word, one little token. Oh, then so often that through people of the Lord, they are asking the Lord also for this. Show me a token for good. One little word, speak it unto my soul, that I may know that thou favorest me, that I may know that thou knowest of me, that I may know that thou knowest where I am, my circumstances, the need of my soul. Lord, show me a token for good. And Mary, she hears this word, my time is not yet come. And what does Mary hear in that? Oh, then she may be given to wait. Because that means that the time of the Lord is going to come. And though that it is not at this present moment, still that time that will then come in a future moment. How do we know this? Well, what does the Lord Jesus, what does Mary say to the servants? She says to the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto thee, do it. Congregation, we must remember that these servants, did not know the Lord Jesus, then it was not as it was later on in the ministry of the Lord Jesus that everyone was familiar with who he was and the miracles which he performed. No, then the Lord Jesus is just setting out in his ministry. And these servants, they are not servants of the Lord Jesus. No, they are servants of another master. And Mary, she is pointing these servants to look unto a new master, that is, to observe his saying. Then Mary does not say to the servants, whatsoever the master of the house, whatsoever the host says to you, do it. No, but servants, look upon this man, look upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And Mary believes in her heart that the Lord Jesus is not only able, but she believes in her heart that the Lord Jesus is going to help the poor. And so indeed it is. We see that in our second thought, the performance of this miracle. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. Congregation, water pots, what were these water pots for? These water pots were for washing. That is not only like we wash necessarily in our days, but it is also for ceremonial washings, and that were according to the law. Where is this feast? This feast is among the Jews, or they have a religion. That religion is in an outward way. Everything is in its place in an outward way, even though the heart and the soul of the true religion of the Jews is gone. And yet all the outward things, they still remain. And that is often so. Not only did they remain, but the outward things increased. And that was by way of superstition so often among the Jews, that more and more washing of plates and of cups that had to be done. But there was still also a remnant. And one of that remnant was the mother of the Lord Jesus herself. And now that time did finally arrive that the Lord Jesus was going to provide in these needy circumstances. And even though there was fault in Mary, then the Lord Jesus does not look over the need of his church, because that church can never do as they ought to do. That church remains so sinful. And yet they will not be deceived in their hope. They will not find their hope to be in vain. What does the scripture say? Whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. Fill the water pots with water, and they filled them to the brim. That was quite an obedience for these servants. Was that not, boys and girls? It does not just say that they filled them, but it says they filled them to the brim. That means they have gone to the utmost extent of their obedience. Do you do that too, boys and girls? When your mother or your father asks you to do something, then you do that just halfway, Or do you do that all the way? Can it be felt by your mother and by your father that you obey out of your heart? Oh, that can be felt in these servants. They are pointed to a new master. And the obedience that this master receives is so exemplary. Oh, how is that in that new life? When the Lord is beginning a new life in His people, oh, then there is such a desire. Then there is a longing that they may be, that they may serve, that they may do everything in accordance with what the Lord desires, what the Lord commands. Oh, then how holy is His word, and what a blessed willingness is laying in the heart of such a people, and they fill them to the brim. Oh, you know, when we read in the Bible of Elisha, how he told that King Joash to smite upon the ground. And he smote but three times, it says, and then he stopped. Why? Because he says, well, in his heart, this is just foolishness. This is child's play. I have to smite upon the ground. And now they have no wine. And these servants who have never seen any kind of miracle by the Lord Jesus, they are told to fill these water pots with the water, and they do not do as that king know. They do not do as the king. O congregation, do you see where we need to be brought? When we are on our throne, then we are not obedient, but we need to be brought as a servant, because these servants acted so differently than that king acted when he is commanded to smite upon the ground, and they are commanded to fill them. Oh, then they are filling them as a servant up unto the brim. That is what the Lord places in the heart of His people. And now why? The Lord will use these servants. He will use what these servants have done to show something in the midst of this people. He will show them His liberality. His liberality. Do you know something of this? Congregation, do you know something of the liberality of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life? The Lord Jesus is going to perform a miracle. And then he's not going to give, well, just a little glass, no. But then he is going to give these water pots, these large water pots full of wine. Oh, we cannot express what the gift of God is for a people who are brought into their poverty. This people here, Mary says they have no wine. Oh, by the miracle of the Lord, they will have in one moment wine to the overflowing. To the overflowing. Is there a people that may know this in their life? The blessing of the Lord, we read it, maketh rich. And there is a people who go from poverty, congregation, to riches. What does David say? He says, my cup runneth over. And when the Lord gives, it is in good measure. It is pressed together. It is shaken, we read in the Bible. That is, the Lord will give until there is no more place to receive it. Oh, is there people that know this, that have experienced that overflowing abundance of the Spirit of the Lord in your life, in the way of utter poverty, in the way of utter helplessness, and that the empty are filled, and that the thirsty may drink, and that the mourning ones, that they may laugh, and that they may rejoice? Oh, is that difficult for the Lord Jesus? Congregation, we read he does not even speak a word. No, we read here that these servants, they are influenced by a secret power. That is, young people, a power that the Lord is giving in regeneration by His Spirit, influencing a soul which would in itself rebel. A secret influence. And the Lord has influenced these servants to fill these water pots unto the brim. Why? That He may show what His work is in the life of His own church. What is now the character of the gift of God. Oh, do you desire riches in your life? Do you desire joy in your life? Because this vine that does signify a joy. And there is no joy and no riches in this world that can be compared to the overflowing abundance of riches and joy that may be received by one word of the Lord Jesus. Oh, a simple commandment and an influenced heart. And the Lord, He only says, draw now that water out. Oh, then He does not have to come and put His hand over the place. No, all He needs to do is influence this water in a secret way by His own divine will, and it is made into wine. Congregation, is it impossible for you? Or is it that you cannot be converted? Is it that you cannot be saved? You say it has to come from another side. You say it is an impossibility. Oh, from us, yes. From Him, it is only a will. Oh, when He wills to do it. We read in the Bible, speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. So easy that is for the Lord. And therefore we would say, where do you go with your need? Where do you go with your impossibility? Then Mary said to the Lord Jesus, they have no wine. Is that now the place where you also go in all your poverty? And where you may come in all your impossibility? When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. Oh, that governor immediately recognizes something. What does he recognize? This is excellent wine. Oh, that man, we read, does not even know where that wine came from. But he can taste it. That this is wine which stands above in its quality to
all other wines.
Oh, may you ever taste that congregation. Oh, may you ever see how that service of the Lord and what the Lord can give you that is standing so above every other gift that you can have in this world. Oh, does that ever bring you with desire to the house of God? Do you ever do then as the psalmist, as we sang together, that he says, Lord, bless me, convert me, as thou convertest all thy people. Render unto me those blessings that thou givest unto thy church, because it is a blessing so far above all the blessings that we can receive here in this world. Oh, that man does not know from whence that wine that is coming. He does not know who did this miracle. And you know what we read? Actually, he attributes it to the bridegroom. Oh, how often do we not do this in the natural things? When the Lord gives his great blessings and we attribute it to ourselves, we attribute it to man. What our efforts are, what our works are. Oh, thou hast saved that good wine until the last. Congregation, there was a people in the company of this man who knew different. And who were they? Do you know it, boys and girls? Who were they? They were the servants. That is what we read here. But the servants which drew the water knew. They knew. And that governor of the feast, he did not know. Boys and girls, it is possible that when we are very young, that we may know something that our father and our mother does not know. Or we don't need to have an education in a university to know what these servants knew. What did those servants know? Those servants have experienced in their life a wonder, a miracle. They have seen it. They drew water. They drew out wine. And they were but the servants. And it was hidden from the wise and the prudent. But it was revealed, congregation, unto the babes. It was shown unto the babes. Oh, do you put it past your children, parents? Do you think they are too young to experience the wonders of the Lord because they don't have enough knowledge? No. No. Is that not reason? And that we are working, that we are laboring to instruct our children in their youth? What does the Lord say? He says, except that we would become as them, we can never enter into the kingdom of God. And all may we be brought, not as the ruler, but as the servants. Oh, that was not such a, that was, we would say, a menial task. Is that not, young people? You say, well, I cannot go to college. I cannot go to university because, yeah, I just am not so smart. I cannot learn so well. and I have to do a job that, yeah, that is according to my mentality. Oh, then you may receive the most blessed place. When you only may receive knowledge of the wonders of the Lord in your life. Young people, don't seek it in the world. Can I find it there? And it's only a short time that we have here below. I know. When the Lord has given you gifts, yes, then we have to use them. And we warn you, young people, we warn you of the universities and the ideas that are being brought forth in our universities. We hope that, young people, you may speak openly to your parents about the things, the humanistic ideas that are being brought forth in these universities with the intention to bring you to hell. It is of the devil. He is there, and he is working there. And we know that it is sometimes necessary that our young people go there. But all we hope that you may be kept from all those dangers that the devil is seeking to draw you away with. And young people, if that is not your place, providentially in the world, don't be discouraged, but be in a certain way glad that you are kept from temptations which from our side are too great to bear. And seek to know of the wonders that these servants may know when the ruler of the feast did not know. Let us sing. Psalter 174, stanzas 2, 3, and 4. Through pain and trouble, thou hast led and humbled all our pride. But in the end, to liberty and wealth, thy hand did guide. Here in thy house I give to thee the life that thou dost bless, and pay the solemn vows I made when I was in distress. 2, 3, and 4 of Psalter 174.
Thank you.
this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory. That was just a little beginning, this beginning of miracles. It was just a little manifestation of his glory, a little evidence of his divine power. In the beginning of his ministry here on the earth, and what did already that beginning of the manifestation of his glory bring forth? What was already the fruit of it? Well, we read here, and his disciples believed on him. Congregation, maybe that you have been delivered in your life. Maybe you have been in a serious accident and you have been spared through it. Maybe you have been diagnosed with a serious disease and the Lord has spared your life even to this very moment. Was there fruit upon it? Maybe you have to say, even, it really is a miracle that I am still here, or that this or that has taken place. Is there fruit upon it? The Lord Jesus could cast out devils, and he could heal the sick, and the Pharisees and the scribes, they can look and watch at all this. And it did not bring forth one single fruit. That is what we are by nature. That miracle in itself does never convert a person. Do you feel that? That you have to say, with what the Lord has done in my life in a physical, in an outward way, that does not touch my heart. I cannot bring myself in the right place with it. I cannot make myself poor with it. But when he changed a little water into wine, then we read here, his disciples believed on him. It is not the greatness of the miracle, no. But it is the presence of his Holy Spirit. Oh, that blessed Spirit of the Lord can take something that is so little and he can break our hearts with it. It is the power of the Spirit to break the heart, even in the smallest token, in the smallest blessing that the Lord may give us in our life, that we may also believe in him, that we may know that the Lord is alive, that the Lord sees me, that the Lord knows where that I am. And his disciples believed in him when he began to manifest forth his glory in such a little way. And oh, if in such a little way, people of the Lord, you may experience in your life the manifestation of his glory by moments here below, and you may experience what that is, to magnify in your heart that holy and worthy name of God, when it is just in its little beginnings, then what shall it be when that full manifestation of his glory is made manifest, made evident in eternity. Oh, when faith will not be necessary anymore, but when it will be experienced in reality, that though my sins be red like crimson, they are white as wool. That as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed my transgressions from me. Oh, then the fruit that will redound to all eternity for the glory and for the honor of that Most High God, or that ruler. He spoke the truth when he says, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until last. Oh, so it is with that true church of God. The best wine that will be experienced in the end, that is the way that the Lord is dealing with his own people. Oh, the devil, young people, tries to lure you. And he tries to say to you, don't think about the future. Just enjoy the things that you may have now. Oh, live your life out today, because tomorrow you are going to die. Here is something else. This man, he says, thou hast saved the best wine until last. So it is, young people. You see that through church. You are not jealous, maybe, of what afflictions and what trials that the Lord is bringing on his people. You are not jealous, maybe, when you have to see what they have to endure in this life, and how that they do not so often rejoice, that they cannot go along with all the laughter and the mirth that you may have here below. But, we read in the Word of God that the Lord, he tells of the rich man and Lazarus. And in the end, then he says to that rich man in hell, he says, you had your good things. And Lazarus had his evil things. And now you are tormented. And Lazarus is comforted. For how long is it? It is for a short, short time that you may have your so-called good things. And they are no good things. One day, then it will be experienced by the true church of God that the best wine that was saved until the last, oh, may the Lord give in your heart a desire for the true rest and for the true peace that lies in the heart of that people. Oh, then it will become true. What was said also of the Lord Jesus, woe unto you that are full now. Why? You are going to hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, you are going to weep. But blessed are those that hunger now, for you shall be filled. Blessed are those that mourn now, because you are going to be comforted. Mine hour is not yet come, but mine hour is coming. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, bless thy word, that all those that may hope and that wait upon thee may be encouraged, and that those that have no desire may be drawn. Oh, that the blessedness of thy church may be bound as a holy jealousy upon our hearts. Oh, thou dost perform miracles for the poor. May that be experienced in our midst. Forgive all that was sinful. For Jesus' sake, amen. Psalter 277, stanzas 1, 2, 5, and 6. Oh, praise and bless the Lord, my soul. His wondrous love proclaim. Join heart and voice and all my powers to bless His holy name. 1, 2, 5, and 6 of Psalter 277.
And unto anger.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.